movie fans. Welcome back to Real Impossible in Review. I am Ben, and I am on the line with co-host Mr. Movie Dude, aka Jason. What's up, Jason?
It's so early.
Yeah, this is the earliest we've ever recorded together.
Yeah, I know. It's like noon, and it's all dark and gloomy outside, and all I want to do is stay in bed.
Right. You know what, though? I'm all for it. Like, I like this. This is a kind of a cool, chill time. Just very relaxing. I don't got to do anything. I don't got to go anywhere. I mean, I think it's a great time to just knock out an episode, especially after, you know, a day after the movie that we're getting ready to talk about, The Little Things, released. So it's pretty good.
It's actually the perfect atmosphere for this movie.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's calm, but, you know, the movie is also a little bit suspenseful too, but it's kind of it's just a total different vibe, especially for a detective movie.
Yeah, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, so what's going on?
Not much. You know, I've just been hanging out and just been doing a lot of podcasts. Just been trying to keep up on the grind, just trying to stay at it. What you been up to?
Not really a lot. I'm in between. I have another job lined up, but I'm in between jobs. So I've been watching a lot of movies, a lot of TV, and just kind of catching up on everything in the entertainment world. And nice. I got a new car, but you know, that's...
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I know. You just had sold your car.
No, I hadn't sold it. I put it for sale, but it's still in front of my house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if anybody needs a green Cavalier, it needs some work.
You know, my first car was a green Cavalier.
Well, there you go.
And I got rear-ended like the second day I had my driver's license.
Oh.
Like, yeah, the second day I had my driver's license, I took it out. I went to go. Actually, I was on my way to pick up PT of all people. I was on my way to pick up PT. We were going to go hang out and do whatever the hell we were doing. I mean, I was 16 at the time, and I was just waiting. I was waiting at a red light, and some guy in a van just fucking creamed me.
Let's be honest. You might have been 16, but it's PT. The same stuff would happen today.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the airbag did deploy. It knocked me back on my ass, broke the fucking car seat and everything. I ended up being completely okay. I just was like, what, on the second day of, you know, being able to drive, like, in my, you know, I didn't pay anything for that Cavalier. I mean, it was free. So,
yeah.
So that, I mean, that's good. But yeah, that was actually technically that was my very first car.
See, Cavaliers are so fragile though. Like, okay, so my car is a 99 Cavalier. We're 2021. So it's 22 years old, but it's so fragile. Like if I accidentally run over a crack that's a little bit bigger than a normal crack, like the dashboard falls apart. It's just like, it's falling apart.
Dude, I've had some shitty luck with cars too. Another car I had, it was well into my early 20s. I had a white Cobalt, which is basically a Cavalier. It was just a newer version of a Cavalier, just renamed. It's essentially what Cobalts are, you know. But anyways, yeah, I had a white Cobalt, and I remember like within the first year I had it, some guy backed into me in the parking lot. It gave my hood a shitty mustache. Like it literally looked like my hood had a poop stain, like like smeared across the hood. Like it looked like, yeah. I mean, I don't really know how to else you know, in a PC way, how to describe that, but yeah.
That adds character and personality to the vehicle.
Yeah.
Like my current car, it's a new car to me. It's a 2008 car.
Right.
But the door handle is like broken. So like yesterday when the car was iced shut and I'm trying to pull the car door open, I'm like, am I going to break this handle clear off? That adds personality. It's just like.
It does. And it builds character.
Yeah.
You know, it helps you appreciate the newer stuff you get, the nicer stuff, and helps you take care of the better stuff better. I mean, like that poop stain, or that wasn't a poop stain, it was just fucking a black mark or whatever. I mean, I could have scrubbed that off. I could have, but I was just too lazy. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to do that because I eventually did, like a year later after I was driving around with a fucking shit stain or what looked like a shit stain on my hood. And my car was white too. So it stood out, you know, pretty good. I remember one day I just said, you know, heck with it. I was out in the driveway for like hours, just scrubbing, putting all my, you know, putting all my strength into the scrubbing to get it out. And I eventually got probably 98% of it out.
But you see, that's, you know, I would have left it on there because even with the Cavalier, I drive around and I see other green Cavaliers, even though they're 22 years old, like they're still all over the place.
Yeah.
And so are. Like, what if you're at Walmart and they're just, for some reason that day, there happens to be six green Cavaliers and you don't have anything on your car letting you know what's what.
Right.
Like I have a rust spot. I know it's my car because it looks, it's got some beauty marks on it.
Right.
But
I keep a Cubs decal on my car, actually for that reason, because of where we live. You don't see a whole lot of Cubs decals. I mean, there are Cubs fans in the area, don't get me wrong, but you don't see a whole lot of people that are brave enough to have Cubs stuff on their cars. You know what I'm saying? So if I see my car, something that looks like my car and has a Cubs decal, you know, I'm pretty confident it's my car.
Well, you see, nowadays that's not as necessary because everybody's got a key fob.
Yeah.
They can hit the alarm on their car and know. But
right. Yeah, they can until that stops working. You know how many I've had, like almost every car where it had the remote, you know, had the remote, the battery always stops working. And then I don't know. I've had some bad luck with cars. That's some bad luck, man. It sucks. But yeah. Okay. So listener sitting and listening to us talk about our pathetic car struggles. Sorry, but actually are you ready to dive into some movie talk?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, all right. So first, okay, so we are here to discuss The Little Thing, starring Denzel Washington, and Jared Leto and Rami Malek. But you know, we're going to discuss that here in a little bit, but I want to talk about something, you know, a few things that were in the news this past week. One of them being was Justice League Snyder Cut coming to HBO Max March 18th. I mean, we knew that was coming this year. We just didn't know the release date. And now we finally know the release date, and it was verified that they are going to release it as just one four hour long movie. So Jason, are you excited about the 4 hour long movie, or do you think that's too long? And are you confident that it's going to be better than Joss Whedon's version of Justice League?
Am I excited about it?
Yeah.
No, I'll watch it, but it's not like I'm drooling to get it in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
I think, okay, I liked Justice League, and that's saying something because I did not like Batman versus Superman, and I'm kind of over the Zack Snyder stuff. Yeah. I don't like how he's all dark and every single actor in those movies looks like they've been working out for 30 years. And it's just like, it's almost like it's a requirement to be buff to be in those movies. And it's just, they're not that exciting to me.
Yeah.
And when Joss Whedon came in and you see his version of Justice League, and the music cues are like the old school Batman theme and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then with Joss Whedon's input, it almost feels like the Avengers. Yeah. Which is fine because Justice League is the Avengers for DC.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon was almost perfect for that movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, was Justice League good? No. Do we need the Snyderverse cut? No. But I'll watch it.
Yeah. Me too. I feel the same way. I will watch this, and I am excited for it because I like superheroes a lot and I like Batman a whole lot. And I'm really interested. I am because this movie was hyped. The internet has been begging for it. I mean, that's why this is even happening in the first place. So I am excited to see what Zack Snyder does with this, because there's a lot of buzz about it. There's a lot of people were begging him, you know, to finish this and release it. So I'm interested to see if he actually lives up to those expectations. Is it, you know, or is it going to be like Batman versus Superman all over again, where it's just overly dark, overly serious, and not, you know, and don't get me wrong, I like that movie, but majority of the audience that did watch it, they didn't like it, you know. So I'm interested to see how he does this second time around. So
I just don't think it's going to be what everybody's hoping it's going to be.
Yeah.
Or else they'd be pushing for it to go to theaters.
Right. Yes.
Even during the pandemic. I mean, the entire time it's been planned as something going on HBO Max.
Right.
Like, I mean, if it was good, it would go to theaters.
Right. It's basically the only thing that's really pushing this is that it's going to be for hours. So you're expecting new things that weren't in the original Justice League. So that's the only thing that's really kind of putting it together. But other than that, like I'm with you. I don't think a whole lot of other people are really that excited about it other than just to see how different it is from Joss Whedon's. And you already know day two are actually day one on the internet. People are probably going to shit all over it. Now that's just me. That's just my confidence in anything that's made by DC nowadays. And then that's just the confidence that I don't have in Zack Snyder anymore. I just think they need to, I don't know. I think maybe after this, maybe they need to go a different direction with Zack Snyder, because I mean, I respect what he's doing. He's trying to make it more, and DC is meant to be more serious and dark and everything. But with the Avengers and the MCU, with their light colored heartedness and being more comedic and, you know, funny and just different, it's just an overall better product. That's what the world wants to see. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to see the darkness and how serious and, you know, that DC Comics can be. They're just not in the mood for it at the moment. So I just think that, I mean, I'm willing to watch it and give them another chance, but I'm not going to hold my breath on it though, you know, on it being an actual quality movie.
Yeah. DC is starting to really confuse me because okay. So Zack Snyder cut's coming out. Yeah. But the universe is going to get reset with Flashpoint. Yeah. But also the main Batman in the DCEU is now going to be Michael Keaton. But they're making two Batman TV shows. Well, not Batman, but Gotham-centric TV shows.
Yeah.
One that's supposed to be centered in the Robert Pattinson Batman universe. Mm. And then one that's supposed to be centered around the Ben Affleck Batman universe. So they're continuing all these storylines.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
And I mean, and that's just it. This all just stems from the disappointment from Zack Snyder. I mean, he was giving full keys to this entire operation with Justice League, with, you know, with Superman, Batman versus Superman. And, you know, he was given the keys, and he has just not. He is, I mean, basically running it like it's the Cleveland Browns. Up until this year, they're great this year, don't get me wrong, but they just haven't been a good product, you know.
But that's also DC, like the TV shows, Titans and Doom Patrol,
yeah,
are not in the same universe.
Yeah,
they got some of the same actors,
right?
They have some of the same characters from same actors. Some of those actors were in the CW show when they did that big crossover event last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not in the same universe. So DC is just all over the map.
It really is open the map. And the only thing I think that would be cool that might save it is if for Justice League, for example, is if they went to do a bigger budget version of what Cobra Kai is doing, or any kind of Netflix series where they actually have because those are basically just 12-hour movies at the end of the day. Those are pretty much what they are.
Yeah, somebody said movies are now short stories and TV series are now novels.
Yes. And if you have something that like DC that has so many characters, so many different villains and so many sub characters and stuff like that, and if you want to do anything with the Justice League, I feel like that's almost, that would be kind of perfect for it, because then you have a way to, you know, just call it the Justice League, make it, give it its own HBO Max series. And then you can kind of almost just do whatever you want with it. And then, you know what I'm saying? Because, and that's another problem with Justice League. It's just too many characters. Because if you look at the MCU, they did it right. Like, they took their time. Each character got their own movie. So you got to know and love that character. As time went on, Justice League was just rushed. You hardly knew anything at the time. You didn't know anything about Aquaman. You didn't know anything about Cyborg. You're barely introduced to Wonder Woman at this point. It was the first time seeing Ben Affleck's as Batman. And it was just so, you didn't know these characters. You couldn't really you know what I'm saying? You couldn't really be attached to them a whole lot like you could the MCU, because like people love Chris Evans as Captain America. Like they love him, that he'll be their Captain America forever. But that's because, you know, the MCU, they did it right and they took their time, where the DC, they are, you know, the DCEU didn't do that. But I think to correct that, I think they need to go this, maybe they should look into going the series route.
I agree. I really don't care to see anything else DCEU until they do Flashpoint.
Yes.
Because Flashpoint needs to reset it. It needs to set then the rules.
Yes.
This is why all these timelines are possible.
Yeah.
Or else don't do it.
Right. I'm looking for the Flashpoint, and I am looking forward to Robert Pattinson's Batman. There's something about the director. What's his name? Matt Harvey.
Matt Reeves.
Matt. Yeah. There's something about the director, Matt Reeves, that I don't know. He seems to be a very big Batman fan. So I don't know. I'm just going off the trailer that we saw. I'm excited for that Batman movie. So I'm excited for that, and I am also excited for Flashpoint. And I want to see what they do to correct the mess that we're in today with the DCEU.
Yeah, I said, I'll watch.
Yeah, we'll watch it.
Getting my hopes up, but I'll watch it.
I know that was a big over dramatic way of saying we'll watch it.
Yep,
we'll watch it, you know. But yeah, just kind of giving our takes on the current status of the DCEU.
So when it comes to HBO Max, I'm not gonna be one of those people it's $14.99 a month.
Yeah,
times are tough. I'm not gonna subscribe every month.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna resubscribe for Justice League Snyder Cut. I'm not. When I re-up my subscription for Godzilla versus Kong, mm-hmm. then I'll watch. Like, I'm not going to watch it the same day. I'm just,
yeah,
I'll get to it when I get to it. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have HBO Max. I actually enjoy HBO Max because it has a lot of, you know, bigger titled movies on it than like Netflix. Like Netflix is more geared towards its own originals. Now they don't really put a whole lot of stock in like actually putting out, you know, different movies, you know, but they have their own movies that they'll put on there, you know, but you don't see a whole, you know, and that's also with all the exclusiveness that we got going on nowadays with Disney Plus and HBO Max and Hulu and everything. But I like HBO Max, but yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want to subscribe to it every month.
Well, plus like all that's going to be there when I get back to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like right now I've been subscribing to CBS All Access for The Stand, but I only use it for The Stand.
Yeah.
I could have waited until The Stand was over and used a free trial and just watched it that way, but they got me with that show because I wanted to see it.
Right. So. Are you excited? Or okay, I'm gonna stop using the word excited. Are you willing to sit throughout the entire 4-hour duration of the new Justice League?
No.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. A four hour movie is kind of pushing it.
I just don't think there's gonna be. Well, it's all gonna be stuff that was cut out of Justice League.
Yeah.
It's all going to be stuff that Zack Snyder filmed before Joss Whedon got replaced him. So you're not going to see the mustache Superman fiasco.
Yeah.
Because all that came in afterwards. It's going to be darker. It's going to be depressing.
Yeah.
I feel like if I sit through 4 hours, I would probably want to commit suicide by the end of it.
So do you think, are you thinking you're just going to do in like 4 1-hour segments at a time? Do you think they should have released it like in 4-hour episodes, or you think they're doing the right thing?
No, I don't think they should have released it in 4-hour episodes, because you got to think with episodes, you got to have each episode has to be its one complete story that ultimately goes into the full 4-hour arc. And you'd have to reformat the entire thing to go. That's why, that's the problem I have with the remake of The Stand, is that The Stand, they made it episodic. And
so
it feels crazy because it's a TV show and it wasn't meant to be formatted like a TV show. Justice League would not be Justice League if they did it like a TV show.
Right on. Well said. And I'm going to have to agree with you. I agree with you on that. I mean, I will watch the entire 4 hours because that's just, you know, I'm willing to do that because that's, like I said, I am a big superhero fan and I do like the Justice League. But I mean, to be honest, though, 4 hours to watch a movie, though, is a pretty long time commitment. Okay. All right. So that's all we got for that one. And then also getting ready to come out two, of course, that was just announced a few days ago. And of course, these release dates are subject to change. We got Godzilla versus King Kong, which is right now slated to be released on March 31st, which is also an HBO Max exclusive, right? And theaters too, right?
Yeah, it's one of those day and date things. I'm worried about this one because Kong Skull Island was awesome.
Yeah.
And the last Godzilla movie was not awesome.
No.
At least to me, it was just all action. I don't want to see all action. I liked the story parts.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked the comedy in Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm worried.
Yeah. They, and that's exactly what this going off the trailer, the new Godzilla vs. King Kong looks like it's going to be pretty much action throughout. It's going to be pretty explosive. It's going to be, it's just going to be just one long, you know, battle, which to me, I don't mind, but like, I am with you. I do like some, I always go back and I like to compare these kind of movies to like to the first Jurassic Park, where it was just nicely balanced, where it was a lot of plot, a lot of dialogue, a lot of talk, getting to know characters and getting them to discuss the dangers and the, you know, and all their theories and everything. But then you got, it was like a big payoff with the action with the dinosaurs, you know, with them, you know, seeing them, you know, kill, you know, kill, killing somebody, stomping on a car or chasing somebody, or, you know what I'm saying? It was just a good, it's a good balance. It's not overly action. It's not overly talky. It's just a good, you know what I'm saying? Like it's an actual movie that you feel like it has a good plot, but it's going to also keep you entertained that with there, you know, being enough action and enough, you know, gore killing scenes with the dinosaurs and everything. So that's kind of like how I would want like this movie to be, Godzilla versus King Kong, where there is like some discussion among the characters and there is some actual conflict, you know, between them. But like, I don't want too much of that, of course. Like, I do want to see, if I'm paying to watch Godzilla versus King Kong, I want to see some cities get absolutely demolished. You know what I'm saying? So I do want to see that too. But yeah, I think that's what everybody wants too, is just a good even balance. Anyway, so basically we're hoping that it's a good balance between, you know, with all the action and everything. And obviously we like any movie, we hope it's good. So I'm excited for it.
I want it to be, and I know this is wishful thinking, I want it to be like the first Transformers movie.
Yeah.
Because there was comedy. You cared about Shia LaBeouf's character. You cared about his dogs.
Yeah.
Or his dog, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
You cared about the Transformers. Like, I want to care about King Kong. I don't want it to be a big bad versus a big bad.
Yeah.
I don't care about Godzilla, though.
Yeah, and I have noticed, going off the trailer, it looks like they're making Godzilla the bad guy in this, too. Which is kind of like, what? Like, I mean, we've been rooting for him this entire time, and now suddenly he's the bad guy.
Well, you know, they're going to come together in the end. One of them's going to say, what about Martha? And then they're going to have to fight like Mecha Mothra or something. Oh no. Yeah. Not what about Martha? What about Mothra?
Yeah. That's a thing. And that's another thing. Like, they don't talk, or how are they going to join forces? Like, what are they going to like, are they going to do some weird like fist bump thing at the end? And I don't know.
Maybe they're going to be like, look, maybe if we take out every person on Earth, we can rule the world.
Right.
Maybe they join forces against us.
Right.
And they just take out the military and take out every. Yeah.
Yeah. I am also, I mean, I am excited for this, though. I think I've been excited for this for a while, back when they announced this back in like 2017, or I mean, this is something that's been in the works for a long time. You know, of course, with the, you know, we had Skull Island, which I love Skull Island. I thought that I loved it. I bought it as soon as I watched it. I rented it and watched it. I was like, I gotta own this movie because I actually liked it. Now, I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I was a fan. I was a fan of it, though.
When I saw it in theaters, like, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And then like, I came out and I loved it. And then I convinced my dad and my uncle to go see it. I think the next day was a $5 Tuesday at the theater.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, let's go see this. I guarantee you guys are gonna love it. And they loved it. And then there was that teaser at the very end after the credits for Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. So I've been excited for this since then. And I actually liked the 2014 Godzilla. Like, I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know why it just didn't do very well box office or critically, but I liked it. And what is Godzilla King of the Monsters? That was kind of so far that's been the worst of the, you know, of the series. But yeah, I still liked it though, and I think I think it's cool that Stranger Things girls in it was Bobby Millie Brown.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of cool to see her to have actual, you know, movie roles, you know, something other than Stranger Things.
That's one thing about these movies; they've all had pretty good casts.
Yeah,
the first one had Bryan Cranston and Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
And then Kong Skull Island had Samuel L. Jackson, John C. Reilly, John Goodman. Mm-hmm. That cast was stacked.
Yes, it was.
Captain Marvel was in it. Loki was in it.
Yeah.
Like
Nick Fury.
Yeah. Like, and John Goodman's supposed to possibly rumors.
Yeah.
Supposed to pop up in WandaVision. So, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that as soon as I'm done editing this episode today. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I can't wait. I might actually go see that in theaters.
Awesome. All right, cool. So yeah, that's our thoughts on, you know, on King Kong or Godzilla versus King Kong. I hope I'm saying that in the right order. And then you know, and then also be on the lookout for that, and then also the Justice League Snyder Cut. So okay, so on to the main event. You know, what this episode is for, and that is to discuss and review the movie The Little Things, starring Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto.
With an appearance by the kid who was in Free Willy.
Really? I did not know that.
Well, I didn't know it either until I looked at the cast.
That's
and I saw Jason James Richter. I was like, wait, that's the kid from Free Willy. And he's in it. I don't know how long he's in it. I don't remember. I'll have to rewatch it. But
right. Yeah, so The Little Things, and I'm getting ready to read the plot here in a little bit. And this is thanks to IMDb, of course. This reads Deke, Deke, who is played by Denzel Washington, is a burnt out Kern County, California deputy sheriff who teams up with Baxter, Rami Malek, a crack LASD detective, to nab a serial killer. Deke's nose for the little things proves eerily accurate, but his willingness to circumvent the rules embroils Baxter in a soul-shattering dilemma. Meanwhile, Deke must wrestle with a dark secret from his past. Which I think that whoever wrote that, I think they did a good job pretty much summarizing the movie right there. Just to go ahead and get it out of the way, we got the IMDb rating reads at 6.4 out of 10, and the tomato meter is 48% with an audience score 58%. So
I'd say that as far as a movie, I'd say that's fair.
Yeah, I would say it's fair too. And I think a lot of the bad reviews on this is just strictly stems from the ending of how the pacing. You can argue that the pacing was really slow, but
the pacing was slow, but And then I want to mention that we're going all in on spoilers for these movies, because this movie doesn't have a lot of spoilers.
Yeah.
Almost any spoilers. But at the same time, it's hard to talk about without approaching that spoiler ledge there. So we're going to talk about spoilers.
Yeah.
I think the problem with this movie is that it was written in the 90s to be a 90s drama that came out in 2021.
Yeah.
Movies aren't made like that anymore.
No.
And when they are, they're directed by like Clint Eastwood and old school directors that,
yeah,
it's kind of like their forte.
Yeah. This felt like a Clint Eastwood film or a Kevin Costner film. Like it could have been either one of those two. Now, I don't think this movie was bad. A lot of people are talking so much smack about this movie, and
it wasn't bad at all.
No, I don't think that's deserved at all. And I'm like, the audience score. And I'm actually shocked that the audience score audience score is better than Tomato Meter. Okay, so that makes sense. So for the most part, audiences did enjoy this more so, you know, than I guess critics, I guess, didn't really tend to like this movie. I liked it. I think Denzel Washington, and I want to talk about Denzel Washington, who his character Deke in the movie, he's a retired detective who is haunted by cases from his past. And the cases that he's trying to help, Rami Malek's character are very similar to the cases that he had. And it was, they were not just regular cases. These were cases that haunt him like to this day, where he's just obsessed over. It's cost him his marriage and it's cost him his job. He's a deputy now. He's no longer the actual beat detective anymore. He was actually replaced by Rami Malek's character, and I can't think of the character's name off the top of my head. So that's what we got going here. So, you got Denzel Washington, who plays Deke, who has just had a rough go as a police detective, and it's really affected his personal life. And you see Denzel Washington really portray that. Like, you really see, like, he really feels like a guy that's been kind of lonely, and he's haunted, and he doesn't sleep, and there's a level of guilt within his character that I think Denzel Washington does a very good job. And I'm no surprise, Denzel Washington is a great actor, but Denzel Washington does a really good job at convincing you that he is just this man that just wants to do these good things, but he is just so bothered by his past, and he can't help himself until he gets to redeem himself.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Denzel Washington did great in this. Did you pick up, now in the movie, like, he gets called to Los Angeles
to pick up
evidence, mm-hmm. which is a pair of shoes for a trial in Kern County.
Yeah.
Now, did you pick up at all that there was never, yeah, he did technically pick up evidence, but that he was sent there to work on this case. Did you realize that?
I never realized that. That
they talk about it very briefly. They're like, when is your Columbo gonna finish this or solve this case for me? When he's on the phone. And I'm like, so they used Denzel Washington's character. Mm-hmm. They know that he had a heart attack. They know that his marriage ended.
Yeah.
They're like, we're gonna send this guy down there and help solve your case, knowing that he might not survive it. I had some issues with that. And I had issues. It was a dark movie.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it was like Saw without the torture porn.
yeah, it really was. And then now also I want to praise, and God damn it, I wish I could remember the character name. I don't got IMDb in front of me right now. I probably should. But anyways, the character that is played by Rami Malek. I think he did a good job with his character. You could tell that he was conflicted. And he was just in a certain dilemma, like, the entire movie. He was just like, man, do I really let this old guy kind of come in and help me out with this case? And is he a good influence? And then there was just a certain cloud hanging over, Raimi's character I think he did a very good job with that.
I agree. I had the issue with Rami Malek is just a unique person.
Yeah.
And he has a unique look to him. Mm-hmm. And the entire movie, I kept waiting for the twist to be that he was the killer.
Me too.
Because he just has that look to him. And yes. I'm just thinking, like, after the fact, I'm like, the detective should have been Jared Leto and the killer should have been Rami Malek.
Yes. Yes. And we're going to get to. Yes. Yeah. We're going to get to Jared Leto here in a little bit. And I totally agree with you. The entire movie, I was expecting that to be the twist where. Yeah. Because it was like, man, why is this young guy being so attached to this retired person that appears to be no longer in his element anymore? Like, you know what I'm saying? Denzel Washington played a really good rusty detective, And so I was like, why would a young detective want to partner up with somebody that's really not even supposed to be there? But then they kind of explained the FBI was getting ready to come take over the case. And then Remy didn't want that to happen. So he was really interested in speeding up the process and getting it solved. I don't know. I guess it was just an ego thing. I don't know. They always kind of make that like a big deal in movies where it's like, oh my gosh, I can't let the FBI take my case. I got to solve this before they take over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. So maybe that's why he was so eager to, team up with Deke. But, I was expecting that plot twist the entire time where he was going to be the actual killer this whole time.
And that's because, and it's unfair to him, but that's just,
Yeah.
He just has that look. Yeah. Not only that, not only is it the look, but that's the way he's been typecast.
Yes. And it's his eye. He looks like he has his eyes just pop out and they look like they're, I don't know. He just has a really good, crazy look to him. And I do agree that him and Jared Leto could have easily have switched. And it was almost kind of like, you know, like they always say in true crime that usually the murderer likes to stay close to the scene. Or they like to, they feel more comfortable being close to the scene than away from it. You know what I'm saying? To kind of,
yeah.
They feel like walking away makes them look guilty. But like if he's close to the other detective working on the case, he can kind of like keep, you know, cover his tracks easier. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So that's why I was kind of expecting, or, and then also then there was a brief thought that like, oh, what if it was two killers and Jared Leto and Remy knew each other and then, you know, like they were brothers or something.
Just think of the thought that Rami Malek, okay, replaced. Okay. So the killer is supposedly the same killer from Denzel's time. Supposedly. Yeah. And so imagine if that killer was Rami Malek and then Rami Malek replaces him.
Yeah.
Which he did. And then Rami Malek wants to bring him back in to, I don't know, learn more ways to get away with it or something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm spitballing here.
No, you but are.
It would have been perfect to set all that up and then at the end find out that, oh no, Jared Leto was really just an innocent person working at a client store the whole time. Yeah, he was creepy. There's a lot of creepy people that aren't really creepy.
Right. So yeah, they said this. I think the way you were thinking, I think, is how a lot of people were thinking. Like, and I
think that's why this movie has such a bad score, because it's set up to have this huge twist, and the biggest twist is that there's no twist.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I can definitely see that. I agree with you. And it was just kind of it was a letdown. And it was it almost kind of feel like the writing was like they were overthinking it. Like it was almost like they were afraid of being too predictable. So instead of being too predictable, they just went ahead and did nothing.
But you know what? At the same time, that's kind of how life is.
Yeah.
It was a huge letdown, but it's more realistic, the fact that there wasn't a big twist that,
yeah,
at the end of the day, this is sometimes not everything can be solved.
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder just like the lack of characters in this movie too was kind of a bad decision, because like if you have a crime thriller that it comes down to who is it? It's a whodunit. And you're expecting a twist where it's going to be one of these characters. You just don't know what, but you got three characters to choose from, and it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like it could have been, because really there's not a lot of characters in this movie. I think you got that one, that other police chief guy. Don't even remember his name. He's not
the guy from True Blood.
Yeah. He's not a memorable character in this movie at all. He's basically pointless. And then, you know, and then you got the other lady, the assistant detective too.
Was in Parks and Recreation.
Right. Yeah. And then so other, you know, she screwed up at the office by, you know, letting the rape victim see Jared Leto's character walk through the office. Other than that, like her character's not memorable at all. So this really just stems down to this three great actors, you know, but it's just three characters that are carrying this movie. It's not enough characters. And yeah, I think that's, in my opinion, where they might have went wrong. Like maybe make it to where they can add more characters, and then it actually feels like a who did it, because then it's more, it could be anybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then come up with a better ending that way.
Yeah. So I liked the characters enough, and I liked the world build. The world building was great in this.
Yeah.
Like I want to see more from this universe. Mm-hmm. I want, they mentioned it. Now this is, I was watching the Netflix documentary, The Night Stalker.
Yeah.
About Richard Ramirez.
Yeah. And that's basically what this movie felt like, was
I was expecting that to turn into it.
Yeah.
But then they're like, this is just like The Night Stalker from 5 years ago. I kind of want to see the director of this, John Lee Hancock.
Yeah.
I would love to see him take the movie, put Denzel, you know, darken Denzel's hair a little bit, and put him on the Night Stalker case.
Yes, the Night Stalker
case. Five years earlier. Now, of course.
Yeah.
Or something from, you know,
like the Zodiac. You know,
yeah, that would you'd have to change the age. It would have to be like John David Washington playing his dad's character.
Dude, I would love that.
Yeah, it would work. I want to see more from that universe, though.
Yeah, I agree with you, dude. That's a good idea. I would definitely pay to see that. I mean, we all know true crime is pretty trendy nowadays. Everyone, there's so many podcasts about it. Netflix, there's a new,
every day.
There's a new serial killer documentary like all the time now on some streaming service. It's a popular thing, and people are, not only do people like it, but people tend to obsess over these crimes, like over murder. It's like they're just fans of it or they like it, but it's like almost like they got to obsess over it. They got to watch everything. They got to read about it. They got to listen to podcasts all day about it. Like, it is a really, a popular trend.
Like Jared Leto's character.
Yes. And Jared Leto in this movie, actually, I want to give him props. I want to say his performance was the best in this movie, and he probably did the least.
He played the creepy middle-aged man.
Oh, he played really him so well. He played him so well. Like, he was like the entire time when he was in the car with Rami Malek, I was just expecting him to slice Malek's throat real quick or something. Like, I was expecting it. He just seemed like such a creepy guy, just a really creepy villain. He seems like he doesn't appear to be very smart, but maybe there's just a little bit there that just might surprise you. And he would just get a knife out and just slice your throat real quick.
Yeah, I think the problem, another problem with this movie is the fact that, so Rami Malek had that, not Rami Malek, Jared Leto's character had that green car.
Yes.
But the times that you saw the killer, like in the very beginning when it opened and the girl was running at the truck stop.
Yes.
That wasn't a green car. That was like a brown, that was something different.
Yeah. But I thought he had two cars. There was one car that was impounded.
That wasn't the car.
It wasn't?
That was like a station wagon or some kind of van or something.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff that this case just went unsolved. And that's the reality of the situation, is that a lot of these just end up with, we're just going to say this happened, or we're like in this case where Jared Leto ends up with a shovel to the face.
Yeah.
And Denzel Washington makes Rami Malek think that Jared Leto was the killer by giving him a brand new beret.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you could tell that was brand new, fresh from the package.
Yes. And you see him burning the package too at the very end.
Yeah, because it's the little things that get you caught up. You have to cover your tracks.
Yeah.
And that's why the movie's called The Little Things. So you have to burn the evidence.
Right.
You don't tell as many lies as I do without knowing how to cover your tracks. Nobody heard me say that.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. The ending, I've seen a lot of people take the ending differently, because I've seen in the comments section, there's a lot of people that think that Denzel Washington was the murderer the whole time. And I never thought that when I watched this movie, I never thought at the end that Denzel Washington was the killer this whole time. But there was people in the comment section that said that they did think that, and they stated the reasons why, is they think that because he was going around and, covering his tracks, and he just seemed to be it. And then they also show that scene where he accidentally does kill somebody. They actually do show it, but even with that scene, I never, me personally watching this movie, my first reaction was not Denzel Washington was the serial killer this whole time.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Like, there was a brief moment where I thought that, like, when he showed up on the scene and Jared Leto's laying there in the dirt.
Yeah.
And then Denzel just took over the entire operation and is like, all right, we need to do this, oh, dig more holes, do this, that.
Yeah.
That's where I was like, okay, Denzel could be behind some of this, but then it was just like, no, he just wants to cover. He just want to make sure his friend doesn't get caught.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then at the end, then he's like, because he kind of knows what it's like to accidentally kill somebody and kind of lose.
Yeah. Career. Yeah.
And he knows what that's like. So he didn't want Remy's character to live that way. He didn't want him to be that way. So he purposely made it seem like they had the right guy, so he could, the other guy could live on guilt free, which is,
And it's a shame that this movie isn't, we don't know how this movie is going to do.
It's a fake ending. It's really kind of what it is. It's like, it was just, cause they don't really, you never know if Jared Leto's character was for real the serial killer. You don't really know that. There's no, they don't ever really, I mean, you kind of get that. You kind of think that because, when he was hit with that shovel, Jared Leto took him there to dig up a hole. So why would he do that? You know,
but the problem is Jared Leto was one of these people that was obsessed with like murders and stuff.
Yeah.
So they're thinking he's the killer. He knows they think he's the killer.
Yeah.
So this is his time to shine, whether he is or not.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think he was. And I kind of wish, I hope this movie does well enough to get a sequel.
Yeah. Cause
I want to see the sequel that takes place 2 years later in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel doesn't even have to be in it, but I want to see Rami Malek just melt down because he thought the killer was caught, but it's still going on.
Yeah. This was a good movie, and the ending did confuse me too. My understanding was how you completely how you understood it. And like it was never really solved. I don't think that Jared Leto's character was necessarily a serial killer. I just think he was just a crazy person and he liked toying with the police. And you know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I thought. And then that Denzel Washington just basically just planted fake evidence just to make the other guy feel better about what he did.
Jared Leto's character would love living in 2021.
Yeah.
Because all these true crime podcasts and like he had that area underneath the floorboard with all the newspaper clippings and stuff.
Yeah.
But he was also obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean anything to me. Like,
yeah,
I would hide that stuff too, because society frowns upon that.
Yes, I do. I do. I agree with all that. And I think you hit it right on the head. I do think if you were to switch Rami Malek and Jared Leto's character, I think it would have been almost just as good or maybe even better, because I think Jared Leto could play a really good kind of detective in that sense. And I can definitely see a Rami Malek just with his stare, with his, you know, playing just kind of a crazy guy. And I do really like, now I like Denzel Washington. I think Denzel Washington nailed his character.
Yeah. Here's what happens if you reverse those two.
Yeah.
For one thing, Jared Leto is 49.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't seem like he is, but he is. Mm-hmm. And I think he still looks young, so he could probably get away with being the young cop or the young detective. But people know that he's been around since like 1972.
I'm joking.
But people know he's been around a long time. But also, sorry, there was a noise.
It's okay.
I think if they reverse the roles, both actors would do great in the other role.
Mm.
But if you put Rami Malek as Jared Leto's character, Rami Malek is definitely the killer in that case.
Yes.
Like with Jared Leto, it's like, is he or isn't he? But Rami Malek is clearly the killer in that case.
Yeah. So. There was at the end, basically the FBI profiler that they shown at the very end. He was like, oh, we're looking for a guy that changes jobs. He's white. He's probably, you know, he probably smokes and he probably does all this and he probably has multiple cars and stuff like that. Like he basically described Jared Leto's character, which was kind of like, what's that?
You basically described me right there.
Yeah, but that's what the FBI profiler said. And so you're like, it's like, okay, so does the writer want you to think that Jared Leto, there's a good chance that he was the killer? Like, do they want you to think that? Or I think that was just a very interesting scene, because I'm like, okay, that was that really necessary? But they don't put scenes in movies anymore for no reason. You know, there's a reason for everything they put in these movies. So they want you to They had the FBI guy profile Jared Leto's character for a reason. So is that just to give us a bigger suspicion that he most likely was the killer? And you know, but it's I don't know. It's just a guessing game.
He purposely, the writer of this, which is John Lee Hancock.
Yeah.
He wanted you to be, is he or isn't he, the whole movie.
Yeah.
That's why they did the fingerprint thing.
Yeah.
We need 12 markers for the fingerprints. And then the guy's like, well, you know who has 8 of those 11? Me. And it's just like, he didn't want to answer that question. This is like the serial killer version of Inception.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. And you can almost kind of put up, and you can almost, it reminds me of like Shutter Island too, to a sense where people kind of just pick their own ending. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just kind of, you kind of decide how you think it ended. You know,
yeah.
Was Jared Leto the killer? Do you think he was, or do you think he wasn't? Do you think Denzel Washington was the killer the whole time? It was just a real, and then at the end of the movie, it was really a movie that was more about Denzel Washington dealing with his past, dealing with his and confronting it, and very depressing, very dark. And it was just kind of, his character was really sad. So yeah, I can't really say that this movie had the happiest of endings.
Yeah, but it didn't have the worst of endings.
No,
I mean, Denzel,
yeah,
you know, he had his little burn can there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went inside with his dog.
Yeah.
And
I have only seen this movie once. This movie does have a feel to where maybe you should watch it twice, because there might be some things that you didn't pick up the first time around that might make more sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, this might be a two-time watch movie. Who knows? I might, one day I might watch this again. It might cross my mind. But anyway, so yeah, that was our review on the movie. So Jason, would you recommend this movie, and how would you rate it?
I would rate it probably a 7 out of 10, because I really liked it and I like the world building and I want to see more from it.
Yes.
Even though I can't say that it was a great movie, but I liked it.
Yes, I liked it. I'm with you 100%. I like the world that it created, you know, just for, you know, entertainment. It seems like a something that you can really get invested in, and you just want more characters kind of like that. You want this kind of feel. You want to see it again, you know. In the movie was good. It was a good movie. The ending is a little confusing at anything, you know, but I think it's kind of meant to be confusing. I think that was on purpose. All the actors did great performances, very believable too, a good believable job done by all of them. I like the director in this movie. I like what he did. The writing, I mean, we can, I don't know, I'm not a writer. I don't know how hard it is to come up with, to write an original idea. To me, that sounds like one of the hardest jobs in the world. Like, how do you write something that hasn't been written hundreds of times already, you know? So yeah, I like this movie. I will recommend this to anyone, especially if you're a true crime fan. You should watch this for sure.
And yeah, I recommend it to fans of true crime, Denzel Washington, although there's getting a lot of pushback from Denzel fans saying it's his worst movie.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't know if he's had a bad movie. So if this is his worst movie, I think he's doing pretty good.
I don't know if you've ever seen Virtuosity, but
I have. I fucking forgot about that.
I would there's a debate to be said for the great debaters too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I stand corrected. Okay. All right. I mean, all right. He's had a couple shitty movies, but for the most part, he does a pretty good job at picking his movies. So I think he's doing pretty good. I think Jared Leto will surprise you in this. I did not like Jared Leto after Suicide Squad. I was not a big fan of him. I want to see Jared Leto play Joker again, but I want him to play a non-mumble rapper kind of Joker. Like, I want him to actually look like the Joker, and I want Jared Leto to almost kind of like do what he did in this movie, because it was very believable, and it was just like, don't know, like is he going to like strike you at any moment? You know, like, it was just suspenseful. And I like that. And yeah, I think that's what the Joker should be.
But he was barely, I mean, if you think about it, Jared Leto was barely in this movie.
Yeah.
For the first half, you didn't see him at all.
No, I know. And that was just so crazy. Like, you don't see a whole lot of him at all, but the character that he played, he nailed him. And it was like, wow. Like,
he did, think about, go ahead.
I just want to see more of that. I want to see more of that from Jared Leto. If we get Jared Leto to play this kind of Joker, it could be completely different from Suicide Squad. That's what we want to see. That's what I want to see.
The burned out, giving up on life and kind of crazy Joker.
Yes. Yep.
With that lazy walk. Like,
yeah.
Like he's got a hernia or something.
Yeah, and have the hair longer too. Like, have more hair, and maybe not so many tattoos. I don't know, but like, Yeah, I would like to see that Jared Leto. Jared Leto, even though, yes, he did have the probably the least amount. He did, for sure. He had the least amount of screen time in this movie. But I do think he did a great job.
Yeah, I'll watch it again someday. You know, these HBO Max movies that are day and date.
Yeah.
They're only on HBO Max for 31 days.
Yes.
So I might watch it like the day before they pull it, just to say.
That's what I did with Wonder Woman 1984. I watched it again because I was like, okay, I'm going to, because I'm not so sure. I usually end up buying all the movies I like, especially superhero movies. So I'll probably end up buying it because that's just me. This is what I do. So don't judge me for that. And then, but anyway, so yeah, I'm going to give it how I really feel like it deserves. I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10. Oh, wait, we're not doing that. We're not doing out of 10 anymore, right?
I did out of 10. I said 7 out of 10.
You said 7 out of 10. I'll give it, I would give it a 6.5 out of 10 just to be different from you. I did like it though, and I would recommend it, especially if you're a true crime fan, like I said earlier.
Okay. I didn't even think of that. We did do out of 5 for the last one, didn't we?
Yeah. So maybe I don't know. Out of 5, I would give it probably 2.5 out of 5 is what I would give it.
That would turn this into like a 3.5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever rating system you want to go with, we'll let you, as a listener, we'll let you choose. Choose that. And then do you have any recommendations for this week?
Sure. I will recommend I was watching it right before I watched this movie, the documentary on Netflix, The Night Stalker. It kind of fits in perfectly with this. And then I will recommend I don't like Weezer anymore.
Yeah.
But they got a new album with, instead of using the band, they're using a full orchestra.
Okay.
Called OK Human.
Okay.
And I was listening to it before I hopped on this call, and it's actually really good.
Oh, all right. I'm going to have to check that out. To me, I don't have any recommendations. I am not, other than like this movie and like Cobra Kai. I have not really watched anything new as of late. Getting ready to watch Camp Cretaceous tonight with my son. I'm actually looking forward to that. So I don't have any new recommendations.
Don't forget WandaVision.
WandaVision, yes, I'm watching that.
I cannot. Episode 4 is so good.
Yes, I'm getting ready to watch that. I'm going to edit this episode and then watch that. And then, and of course, you know, we are a week away of we're recording this a total of like 8 days before the Super Bowl. So that's approaching pretty soon. So, and then I think, are you a Weeknd fan?
I am.
You are. For some reason, I knew that. I don't know why.
Do you know what he's doing for this Super Bowl halftime show?
No.
He has put $8 million of his own money towards it.
Yeah.
Which normally they don't do that. And because of COVID and there's not going to be as many fans and I guess the lack of commercials and stuff, he's got a 24-minute set.
Okay.
They usually only go 12.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. Now, most of his songs are like 10 minutes long, so I guess. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see.
I'm excited for it. I like The Weeknd too. I think he has some good songs, and I think a lot of his songs are perfect for something like a halftime show for the Super Bowl. I'm excited for that. And then of course I gotta ask you, Jason, what is your Super Bowl 55 prediction? We got the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
See, I hate with every bone in my body Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But I also don't like when teams repeat.
Yes.
And the Buccaneers are my third favorite team, or they were before Tom Brady was on there.
Yeah.
So I have to go with the Buccaneers, even though I hate to see Tom Brady get another ring.
Yeah. I have a feeling, and I talked about this on the Ben Brown Won't Shut Up show. I predicted that the Bucs are going to eat the clock. They're going to run the ball. They're going to keep the ball. They're going to try to keep time of possession away from Mahomes and the Chiefs. They're going to just drain the clock, and it's going to come down to a field goal at the end. And I'm going to have to predict that it's going to be a 30-27 Buccaneers win.
There's good news. There's a good thought process to the Buccaneers winning, though.
Yeah.
I'm seeing rumors that if the Buccaneers are able to win this Super Bowl at home, the first team to ever play at home for the Super Bowl,
yeah,
that Brady might retire.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm like, if that's the case, do it. Just get it done and over with.
Yeah.
I want to see the NFL without Tom Brady.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are so, because like, we're so like, because we're that, I think that's why, I mean, Brady's villainized because of his success with the Patriots. Now, a lot of it, you know, there's a lot of controversy with cheating and stuff. And I'm a Rams fan, and I will never get over the heartbreak of 2001. You know,
I'll never get over the heartbreak of 2001 and 2018.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's where my hate from Brady stems from. It's from all the way back from when we had the greatest show on turf. We were supposed to win that Super Bowl easily, and then
The Rams were never the same since.
No, yeah, and that was always, and that's why I've always, just because of my, I love the Rams. That's why I hated Brady, but then the Super Bowls just got repetitive, and it was just like, it was always the Patriots, always, and not only were they there, they were winning just about almost all of them. So
unless they were up against the Eagles or the Giants.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I think that's why we're tired of him. I think we will acknowledge that he has more, he's going to retire with more Super Bowl rings than anybody else. I mean, he already has them, and he's going to go into the Hall of Fame. He's probably going to be regarded, and if he already is, as one of the best of all time, but we're tired of it. We don't care. Just leave, get out of the league.
He was a part of the cheating.
Yeah.
Like, it might not have been his call, but he knew about it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, there needs to be an asterisk next to his legacy for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Because he was there. He knew they were deflating balls. He knew they were filming practices.
Yeah.
Like, don't let him, just because, oh, he's the greatest of all time. No, he's not.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not the only one. I mean, I spoke to Jay. He does not like him either. They said Tom Brady has the most punchable face in the world, which I don't disagree with. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm with you there. I'm predicting a Buccaneers win. Who do you are you going with the Buccaneers too?
Yeah, only because I don't like. Okay, I wanted the Chiefs to win last year, but there's this consensus from the Rams fans out in LA that since the Rams aren't here anymore, we're all supporting the Chiefs. And I keep telling them, I don't live in Missouri. Like, at least give me the benefit of the Bears or the Colts.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you support the Chiefs. I'm like, no, I don't. I have a Chiefs hat because I bought it for $1. Like,
yeah.
It's not like I'm a big diehard Chiefs fan. I don't like them. Like, just let them go.
Yeah. That's why I'm still a Rams fan, because it's like, they were here in this, they were 20 minutes from us for a long time. You know,
they're the whole reason I like sports at all.
Yeah. So that I like the Rams. So it's hard for me to just suddenly start rooting for the Chiefs just because my favorite team left. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because like, think about it, like, I can move. If I move to a whole different city, you know, to a whole different state, then it's really no different than who I root. It's no difference in who I root for.
Yeah, it's just the difference is you're not going to be able to go to as many games.
You could still,
if you want to make the trek out there, you can, but.
Yeah, you can still do it. And I mean, to be honest, I love the Rams, but it wasn't like I was going to every single game when they were here. I was, you know, I would go to one or two games a year, but
yeah. And I made this point in a Rams group that I'm in. I'm in this group on Facebook, St. Louis Rams versus Los Angeles Rams. And I was like, you know what? You guys are in California where you can't go to any games. At least if the Rams were here in St. Louis,
yeah,
they would still have like 15% capacity, because people went to Chiefs games this year. So we could have went to Rams games had they been here.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's just sad. I mean, honestly, I compared them leaving. It's very similar to getting your heart broke.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very similar to getting dumped. Like, I felt like I was dumped. And it was actually a worse feeling. Like, mm-hmm. It took me probably a couple years to get over the Rams leaving. Like, I'm not trying to do heart sob here or anything, but that's just the truth.
I'm still not over it.
Yeah. And then now I'm coming to grips with it. I will always hate Stan Kroenke, but I always just tell myself, like, oh, well, the players had nothing to do with it. And then after Kroenke dies, whenever that is, then it's just going to be a whole new owner, and then I won't have any reason to really not like him anymore.
I think the problem with that is because Stan Kroenke is named after two St. Louis legends.
Ugh.
Eno Slaughter and Stan Musial.
Yeah.
And yet he just turned his back on the whole city.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so if you're listening from LA, we don't hate LA fans. I don't hate. I mean, I'm happy for you guys. You guys got a team. But if Stan Kroenke's listening, which he isn't, he probably never will. Fuck you. And Kevin Demoff, you're an asshole too.
Kevin Demoff. Okay, this is a story for another time, but
yeah,
I worked at the Dome and I went to that owners meeting where they were trying to give fans a chance to speak up before they moved the team. And I was sitting like two seats away from Kevin Demoff. That is a little tiny little gremlin, dude. Okay.
Yeah.
He is little. I'm little. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm big, but I'm little. He's tiny and he's like a little gremlin. So there you go, Kevin Demoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that guy. I don't like either one of them. So I don't know. But anyways, so that was our Super Bowl NFL Rams talk. And so anyways, I want to thank all of our listeners for listening to this. This was a great episode. I had a fun time recording these. Please be on the lookout for more Real Impossible episodes. We got more on the way. We're going to do episodes for the movies we talked about at the beginning of the show for the Justice League Snyder Cut, probably. Are you doing that? Do we ever agree on that?
We'll probably do it. We still got to do Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, yeah. Snakes on the Plane is on the way. That's kind of a summer movie, though. No one cares about snakes in the winter. And then,
honestly, though, at this point, we just got to shadow drop it. Just like make it a complete surprise.
Right. Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for all, you know, the King Kong versus Godzilla review. And then we're going to do some other reviews, too, along the way. I think we're still got to do Tenet also. So we got a lot of really cool things getting ready to come out. We're going to try to do a better job at tackling these new movies as soon as they come out. So yeah, so please stay tuned, subscribe, follow, look for The Real Impossible on Facebook. We also got a group too on Facebook. Not very many people in it yet, so we need more people. So please join the talk about movies. It's a great time. Just look for The Real Impossible on Facebook. Look for us on, I think we're also on Twitter. We're also on Instagram. We're also a part of the Tag Team Networks too. You could find that. Mm-hmm. You could find that handle on everything. And yeah, and then feel free to message us and let us know what you think about the show. And yeah, and that's all I got. Jason, you got anything?
Nope, that's all for me.
All right, cool. I am Benny B278. You can look for me on Twitter. Mr. Movie Dude, where can they find you?
Mr. Movie Dude on everything.
Mr. Movie Dude. All right, nice and easy. All right, everybody. Well, take it easy. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And yeah, enjoy the halftime show. And stay safe.